Welcome back to TV Campfire Podcast. This is episode number 6, and I am Libya, your host. And I have to apologize for last week not giving out a podcast, but I was traveling all over the West Coast, and now I'm back, and I wasn't really able to watch a lot of television. So this time, I'm hoping that I can get in some of the stuff from last week, but mainly I'm going to concentrate on the episodes from this week. And this week is a special episode for me because it is a reunion of the Keepers of Lore, which was a sci-fi group we had going in the middle of Missouri about 10 years ago. I'm going to be conservative and make us younger. and I've got two guests from that group. First guest is, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hi, Keith Dushak. Right now I'm living in Omaha, Nebraska.
And I'm Eddie Lovelace, and I live in St. Charles, Missouri.
Woohoo, Missouri still, like it. I love St. Louis. I lived there for quite a while, so I'm not going to badmouth Missouri. All right,
especially
so
not St. Louis. Good place.
St. Charles, it's close enough. So let's start off with the news, which is the first thing up is the show Burn Notice got renewed for 2 more seasons, which I'm very excited about. I love that show, and if you're not watching it, why not? The season box sets are like $16. Go out and get it. The next piece of news is that Michelle Forbes, who all of us know from a myriad of sci-fi shows that we've been watching over the years, such as Admiral Kane from Battlestar, and she's on True Blood most recently. She's in a new pilot for AMC called Killing, and I'm not certain about what her character is, but the show is based around a police investigation of a girl's murder.
Nice.
That's all I have. I mean, Michelle Forbes is great, so I'm sure whatever she's in is going to be fantastic. All right, and Spartacus news. I mean, I think I saw this coming, and I was a little worried about it, but in case you guys didn't know, the lead actor on Spartacus was diagnosed with cancer. And they said that they were going to wait for him to go through treatment and see how that worked. But the problem, of course, is the studios want money, and Spartacus ratings have been going up astronomically all through season one. And the finale got, like, really great ratings. They still say that season two is postponed until the actor's back on his feet, but now what they're doing, because basically the sets are just sitting around, they've decided to do a prequel, and they've cast a younger actor that's supposed to play the younger version of Spartacus, which I'm not sure how interesting that's going to be, but they want to give, I guess, the audiences something while we wait on the actor to get better. So I'm kind of mixed. I have mixed feelings about that in that I love the show. But part of why I love the show is I love Spartacus. So I'm not sure how I feel about the whole recasting of a younger actor while they wait for the other actor to get better. But I think they're just afraid that if they wait too long, they're going to lose their audience. Dan, you guys have no comments because you don't watch Spartacus. All right. So news from you guys. Go ahead. Who's got news?
The only news I've got going is that for the season finale of Smallville that is on May 14th, they are bringing back a couple of guest stars from the Stargate genre. First being Michael Shanks from Stargate SG-1, who played Hawkman earlier this season in one of the episodes. And then they're also bringing back Elena Huffman, who plays in the current Stargate universe as TJ. She's coming back and doing her role of Black Canary. So it's always great to see actors from other genres on the shows.
And my one tidbit of news is, you know, as far as TV goes, stuff goes, is, you know, a lot of us are big fans of Joss Whedon, and it looks like he's set to both rewrite the Captain America and the Avengers movie scripts coming out, and it looks like he is probably going to get the directing gig on Avengers, which is awesome. You know, we know that he knows characters, he knows his comic books from when he wrote the X-Men, so I'm really looking forward to that.
The only thing I was gonna say, the only thing I have to say about that is that's been a rumor that's been going around for a while, right. And I'm like, is this rumor? Is this real?
Yeah, I heard it a long time ago, and it looks like it's coming back around. So it's like I'm hoping. Maybe it's a little bit more hope, but we'll see.
Okay.
Yeah, Joss Whedon. If I mean, it would be great if he would get a hold of both Captain America and the Avengers, and that way he can roll one movie into the other one. So it would be great if Joss did it.
I'm not going to argue with that. I am a big Joss fan. So you're preaching to the choir here. All right, so let's move on from news and go on to the shows. Like I said, we didn't have a podcast last week, so this week, so it's mainly these episodes this week, unless the episodes kind of carried in from last. So the first show up we're going to talk about is Big Bang Theory. Anybody got any comments?
Oh, it was fun. I mean, you know, anytime, you know, since they're setting up Wesley, you know, Will Wheaton to come back, I mean, it's just fun to have him as a, you know, foil in that show. I can see that him having a guest starring role several episodes a year. I'm really looking forward to it. It was fun. It's always, you know, doing all the Star Trek references and all that. I like that.
Well, I just thought that it was amusing that now Sheldon, as the mad scientist, finally has an arch nemesis, and his arch nemesis is Will Crusher, or Wesley Crusher. I've mixed their names up. Has like Wesley Crusher is Sheldon's arch nemesis, and it's not really Will Wheaton, because sometimes I don't really think that Sheldon can really distinguish the difference between them, other than, you know, Will Wheaton is evil, which I think is great, because he basically broke up Leonard and Penny playing mind games on them so that he could win a bowling match. And I was like, that is awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it almost kind of reminds me back, it may not be much a genre, but back in the 80s and 90s on Cheers, you'd have the rival bars, you know, the Cheers bar, and the other one always, they played games, and, you know, the other bar would always get the one-uppings on Cheers. And no matter how many times that they tried to get back at them, you know, it just wouldn't work out. And it looks like they're using the same dynamic in this show, so with Will Wheaton. So it's a lot of fun.
He's a masterful casting right there. I think that really works because he's a familiar face, and he brings an interest. He's so different from his character. It brings an interesting charm because he psychs you out and makes you believe that he's a nice guy for like the first 5 minutes you meet him. And he pretends to be charming and all that while he stabs you in the back. It's brilliant. And as far as relationships goes, you know, Penny and Leonard apparently have broken up. And I don't know that I care that much. I mean, I was kind of happy when they got together. But the chemistry between Penny and Sheldon is actually way more interesting than Penny and Leonard. So the fact that they broke up, I'm not sure I really care that they've broken up. And one of my friends was telling me, and I have to agree with him, since Leonard has been with Penny, he's become a jerk. He's kind of become a superior jerk. Like, I have a girlfriend and the rest of you losers don't. And also the dynamic between the guys has changed because he's always going to choose to spend his time with Penny instead of with them. So they're not doing... They're like, you know, they're Halo Knights and stuff like that. So, you know, I'm kind of missing those elements. So I'm hoping that even adding Penny back to the group, because she's not really going to really leave the group, even though she's broken up with Leonard, I still want the guys to get back to some of their routine. So.
Yeah, I think we'll see that. I mean, it's definitely, I don't think, a long-term relationship. I think we're going to have a lot of, you know, starts and breakups and, you know, how he will deal with her if she starts dating somebody else and vice versa. And, you know, I mean, it's, you know, I think there's going to be a lot of back and forth on it for seasons to come.
Yeah. I don't think that was a bad move, so I'm excited to see where it goes. And real quick, I want to talk about Chuck, which was not this week. They had their... I know you guys don't watch Chuck, which I think is a shame, because it's right up your alley. It's a great show. But, last week, they had their sort of mid-season finale, because originally they were only given, I think it's 13 or 15 episodes. And when Jay Leno got not canceled, but whatever. Yeah, his show got canceled. They gave them more episodes. And instead of restructuring their season, they decided to still have their finale and then kind of start a second season in the middle of their season with the last six episodes they were given. So this was kind of supposed to be the finale of Chuck for the season. And it was really pretty good. I mean, they took the show in the first two seasons was very light and very funny, and Chuck was kind of the bumbling geek buffoon who happened to have this knowledge in his head. And this season has really been about maturing Chuck, and the last episode was, you know, it was that culmination of everything they've been doing all this season. And Chuck is grown up now. I mean, he is definitely a man. They took him from kind of the goofy character to having to make serious life-changing decisions, and he basically had to kill someone. And they've been skirting around that issue all season. You know, like, he's come close, he's had to burn a contact, he's had to send somebody to prison for life, even though he liked the guy because it was part of the mission. And his character's become pretty dark this season, which is a really interesting change for the show. And they actually, I mean, last podcast I was talking about how Sarah, who's Chuck's hopeful girlfriend, was a hypocrite because she said, you know, I don't want to be with you if you have changed so much that you're going to kill somebody, because she thought he'd kill someone already. And so she's like, oh, that's the end, I can't date you. And then she finds out that he didn't actually kill anyone, and she's like, oh, okay, now we can be together. And I was like, are you kidding me? You've been training him to be a spy for the last three seasons, and now that he succeeded in what you told him he wanted, now you don't want him? And it ends this way with, after he actually finally kills someone, he thinks that now she's really not going to want him, but since he kills someone to save her life, I guess that's okay. So she was like, oh, you saved my life, it's fine. And I just rolled my eyes a little bit, but, so the whole Sarah-Chuck relationship is not my favorite. I do like Sarah on her own. I don't know if I like Sarah and Chuck together. I know it's like sacrilege on the show, but, I love Chuck a lot, and I love the fact that they brought Morgan in on The Secret. It's that show. I know you guys both watch Smallville, so there's a Smallville analogy in that Chuck is a super spy, and it's his secret identity, and nobody knows about it. And Morgan's been his friend since they were like 5 years old, and finally Morgan has found out the secret. So that was very exciting. And Morgan is now part of Team Bartkowski. So that's very cool. So thumbs up on the finale. I'm really excited about the next few episodes we're going to get. All right. So I'm tired of hearing myself talk, so let's move on to the next show, which is 24. Go ahead.
Well, 24 of the last 2 weeks has, you know, I realized, you know, I think everybody kind of realized the show was, you know, definitely running out of steam and stuff. And nobody I've talked to who watched the show feels it's a bad thing that it's actually coming to an end. But I think that it presents an opportunity because they knew soon enough it's coming to an end and they can just pull out all the stops. And going back to the previous week's episode and then this past week's episode, it's like you kind of realize what you'd been missing in the show. It's like the silent clock finally returns. And also the silent clock returns 2 weeks in a row. So it was almost like a horror movie because, you know, Jack is happy finally and, you know, of course, that can't happen. So so maybe we get, you know, Jack, just vengeful Jack back, you know, take no prisoners, you know, and he's just out for vengeance now. So that's going to be fun to watch. And then, you know, Chloe, I mean, she's running CTU now.
That's insane.
I didn't see that one coming. That's just nuts. Now, basically, she does have good criteria because she's like, okay, I've been around for CTU for 10 years, and anybody else been around for 10 years that isn't a mole? No. So, you know, by default, she becomes the head of CTU. So, I mean, so it looks like it's just going to be Jack and Chloe for the last, what is it, 5, 6, 7, 8 episodes left?
Well,
so,
look, I mean, that... Go ahead.
And so, that, you know, that's just kind of fun. It's back to the core of the... could get back to the core in these last few episodes as far as what it is. Let's just watch Jack and Chloe and, you know, see what happens.
The only thing I have to say about that is that conversation where the guy is promoting Chloe and he's like, oh, I'm looking at your, you know, your criteria, it says you're doing a great job, blah, blah, blah. I was like, except for, like, didn't she hold somebody at gunpoint, like, 2 hours ago on the show.
Well, yeah,
and,
but, you know, Jack does that every season. Sometimes, you know, he always goes on the run from CTU, and he's always forgiven. And that's true. But, yes, would Chloe be a good boss? No, she'd probably be the world's worst boss in real life. You wouldn't want her for a boss. I mean, just her people skills are completely non-existent, but, hey, why not?
But they've improved over the years.
No, really they haven't. Like, if you've watched anything happen this season, like, even this season, they've had situations where she's trying to ask somebody to do something, and she totally does it the wrong way. She sucks dealing with anyone other than Jack. Jack can talk to her, and that's it. No one else can talk to her. It's really insane. So I actually foresee, comedy relief with her being in charge and seeing how the heck people are going to be trying to deal with her. I think that's going to be really funny. And I think you're right. Jack is going to be all about, I'm going to kill the people who have killed my girlfriend. That's it. Because that's that.
Seeing her die. I mean, I actually didn't think. I figured she was going to get shot. I actually didn't think they'd actually kill her off, even though it kind of made sense. But, you know, I like the actress. She's a St. Louis born and bred gal, and she's a redhead. So, I mean, you know, you can't see those people die. So, yeah, I didn't actually think that. You know, I thought the shooter and, you know, the way they could end it is, you know, he goes visit her in the hospital room or something. But, you know, hey, nobody's safe on that show except for Jack and Chloe.
Well, so, now's the last season. Nobody's safe.
That's true. Oh, I know that. But
I don't see Jack making it out. If this is truly the end, I don't see Jack making it out of this season.
Well, only thing is I heard rumors there might be a movie. So
movie, right.
If there's a movie, Jack's safe.
If there's another way to see Kiefer as Jack, he's safe.
Yeah, so, but yeah, everybody else is totally expendable. But that's always been true about the show.
Yeah, it has been. That's been the great thing. But yeah, they need to end it. I mean, the storylines have definitely been repetitive. I mean, you know, who knows? I mean, they brought back Logan, so maybe Jack can now get closure against Logan. You know, he's really the one bad guy that's never been completely taken down or killed.
And
so,
I also think that he is up to something and he's still evil.
Yeah, I mean, I think Dana might end up being, you know, Logan's secret daughter or something. I mean, I know that's very soap opery, but it wouldn't surprise me with what they've done with her.
Well, I want her dead. She's not dead yet. I am not satisfied until somebody puts a bullet in her head.
One at least.
All right, let's move on to Castle. Anyway.
Castle's a fun show. I never watched it the first season, but once the DVD box set came back, I watched them all. And then I caught up on the ones I missed this season and have been watching it straight since the first of the year. It's just a fun show. I mean, you know, the comedy, it's just great.
Keith?
I do not watch this show. I'm actually waiting for Glee.
You're like, wait till we get to Glee. All right, well, Castle, I'm trying to remember the last 2 weeks of Castle, what happened, because it feels like I've been doing is sitting in front of my DVR for the last 2 days.
Well, the
just
one
crunching
2 weeks
through.
Ago was the, you know, the tomb sort of where they're in the museum. You know, basically where he got to put on the Indiana Jones hat, which is like, you know, I mean, really, he really could just redo every Harrison Ford role out there. It's just, you know, there's been, I always said with even Firefly, there's never been a better Han Solo than, you know, he'd be perfect to redo that part, actually, after putting on the hat and have the cockiness with him. I mean, he could easily do Indy if they needed to. It's just kind of amazing that he just fits. I mean, he could just follow in Harrison Ford's footsteps and redo every movie he ever did and it would be fine.
That's true. I never thought about that. But yeah, he was a fantastic Han Solo in his own way. But, oh yeah, the curse. The episode with the curse. That was pretty funny.
Like, oh, yeah.
And I love the fact that the first couple of things that happened to him in the curse were just the cops just totally screwing with him. Like, uh-huh. That was great. And I am curious in what, you know, the guy told him to how to break the curse. I have no idea what the guy whispered in his ear. But all that was just really funny. And that is one thing I really like about the show is he literally carries that show on his shoulders.
Yes.
And it just through the strength of his charm and just the comedy. But,
yeah, because, I mean, usually the, you know, the story itself or the, you know, you always realize it's not going to be the first person they think did it, and usually it's, you know, or maybe it is the first person they think they did it, or at least they got away from the mother or the kid being the one that does the big thing that makes him realize what the answer is. They still do that a little bit, but not as much as they did first season. But yeah, it is the characters. I mean, the story is very much secondary to the show. It's very much like Bones in that regard.
What I thought was really hilarious was when, connected to what you were just saying, they were trying to figure out, you know, who done it, and Castle's like, well, maybe it was such and such. And Beckett looks at him and goes, well, that would make this Scooby-Doo.
Yes.
I thought that was great.
Well, yeah, and her little ruh-roh or whatever she did right at the end of the episode, you know.
Well, and it really was a Scooby-Doo ending, too. It was great.
Exactly.
And I like the fact that they mock
them. You can't go wrong. It's, copying off Scooby-Doo. I mean.
Yeah, and they mock themselves, and they have no problem mocking themselves. I think it's fantastic. What was this week? I have a bad memory.
That's what I'm trying to remember. I watched it. It was funny, but... I'm sorry, I'm just kind of blanking.
I am totally blanking as well. I'm like, I know I saw...
Gee, I wish I would have watched the episode. You guys are really promoting me to want to... Man, I need to go DVR Castle.
Well, it's a fun. Hilarious show, but the problem
is...
It really is. The problem is, it's the same problem I have with, like, House. After I watch an episode of House, I cannot tell you what the heck the case was about. Because it's about it's about the characters. And I can tell you what the characters did... But I can never tell you who got sick or what their illness was and how House fixed them. I can never tell you that.
I thought you were going to tell me that every character on the show was wonderful except for the leading guy. I'm sorry. That's how I think about it with House. But we'll move on.
Oh, I cannot talk to you about House. Is a fantastic show. Well, especially this season has been much better than the last couple. But anyway, we're not talking...
So you still developed a personality?
Oh, Mr. Sarcasm, you can only talk if you've actually seen the show. You don't get to talk if you're just guessing. No comments. We're moving on. So, the next show is V. V for Vendetta or Victory. Whichever you choose. I am thoroughly enjoying V right now. I've had some people comment that the dialogue is kind of weak, but I am fascinated by the V characters... as themselves, like, what the heck is their plan? Why do they want the liveaboard system? Because she's all like, I want those bodies on board. I was like, what does that mean? She's hungry? Like, you don't know you don't know what the heck she's talking about, and what are their plans with the kid, even though I can't stand him. Ty, I swear to God, he is the worst teenage act. Well, okay, the Caprica teenage actors are pretty bad, too. But, okay, after the Caprica teenage actors, he's the next one that is just like, why can they not get teenage actors who can act? And he irritates me. I actually...
I kind of wonder why she even wants to save him. Oh, you want to go live on the V-ship? Fine, I'm done with you.
Yeah, I do...
It's my job easier to lead a resistance, you know, if he's not around, so...
Well, that's the thing, is I'm waiting for him to get frozen... on the ship, and then we don't have to see him anymore.
Well,
yeah,
after this week, we could actually say, go die, and maybe Mom and Dad can get back together again. Because now they don't have to worry about who you are.
Well, and then, okay, my issue with this week's episode, the big reveal was that the dad is not really his dad. And her thing was she never told anybody because she thought that the tests were wrong. And I'm like, if you think the tests are wrong... freaking do the tests again.
Right.
You know, it's
right.
Like, why would you go for years? Your marriage gets broken up because he thinks, you know, you cheated on him. Oh, I just realized something. I cannot believe that just hit me. The reason, I've always been wondering why the heck the V's are so interested in Ty. I was like, what's so special about him? And she keeps claiming that she never cheated on her husband.
Well... she probably didn't, according to her.
Well,
but there can be two of them.
Well, my thing is, are you guys not seeing the very obvious connection, which is the V's did something to her.
Exactly.
The V's obviously did something to her back when she had Ty. And so that's why Ty is not the father's kid, because there's something that they did to her. And it just occurred to me, and I'm sorry.
And I will say V's gotten a lot more fascinating since it came back. The premiere was okay, but then it... really those, you know, the last three episodes they did, except for maybe the last 15 minutes of the episode four, I was kind of worried about it, because it was like, the only thing is, the Resistance sort of happened very fast in the first episode. It was like, oh, aliens show up, let's have a Resistance. But I think with the new showrunners and stuff like that, they put, first off, action back into the show. And they're kind of, you know, they kind of, with what they established in the first four episodes, they're kind of constrained with that a little bit, but they're now expanding upon that a lot, which is nice. Like you said, with live on board programs, stuff like that. You know, I guess the big reveal was, you know, John May, you know, is actually possibly dead. You know, I'm not going to say he's actually dead. You know, they can change that, and, you know. But yeah, they got their, they're doing a lot more harkening back to the old show. I mean, they're actually fighting. They're actually trying to get on the spaceship. I mean, it looks like visitor security this time around is at least a little better than the 80s show, where you know, all you had to do was hop on top of the truck, you know, when it's going through the security checkpoint, and you're fine. I always loved the old show, though. It was the very first TV series I ever taped, way back when in the day. So I always have fond memories of that. You know, for as a 12-year-old back then, it was perfect.
You had a VCR?
What?
I'm sorry. I'm just surprised you had a VCR back then, that's all.
It was 84, 85.
Yeah, I didn't get a VCR until I got to college.
Oh, well. no, I did. I taped the miniseries, and it was the very first TV show I ever taped. So, and
I will. Sorry.
Go ahead.
I will say also, I also am very happy in the new direction that V is going on the second part of the first season. You know,
yes.
I think we're all a little nervous about firing the creators and the but I, for one, after seeing the last couple of episodes, the new direction is definitely the direction I think that most of us was wanting to see, and we're actually even a little disappointed last fall in not seeing. So,
exactly. I mean, they got rid of, in some ways, the least fascinating person of the Resistance, but they kind of made his, you know, Georgie, and they made his character much more interesting by getting rid of him. You know, they made him go out as a hero, you know, sacrificing himself. It actually gave him some emotional resonance. You know, it allowed, you know, the core group to get to, you know, kind of to bond more. I mean, they kind of introduced the sort of the Ham Tyler character, you know, with the... Sorry, I'm
yes.
blanking on his name, too. But, you know, you got that rogue element there that, you know, will do his own thing, but is there. And, you know, and the mom's character, I mean, she's much more, you know, you feel like she's a leader there. So, and we've got to, you know, figure out what's happened with the priest. I mean, he's been injected, so he's apparently one that's been picked for the live on, will be picked for the live on board program. I'm sure he won't go, but, you know, what did they do to him with the... with the that drug that they injected him.
Well,
so,
they tagged him. That's the whole point. That was
basic.
What the injection was. So they
that's
now
true.
Know where he is at all times.
Right. As long as they don't know he's a Resistance fighter, they'll be fine.
Right. I'm sure that's going to come up. All
of
right.
Of course.
All right.
Well,
go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, well, tagging, you know, priests, because they obviously have the most interesting lives out there. Of course they
yeah.
have so
yeah.
much sense.
That,
like,
that's true. Little inside joke.
I was like, that is an inside joke that only we get. Thank you.
But I must say, it is awesome. And how often do you get a lead character being a priest who doesn't have to kill undead?
Oh, being like being a vampire. I really like his character mainly because he's from the 4400, so I like
right.
him from there. So I'm really excited to see more about his character, and he's really interesting to me, so I'm all for it. And Keith, I'm about to make you happy. We're moving on to Glee. Go for it.
Glee! It's very interesting because actually in our household we watched every episode of Glee probably 3 days prior to Tuesday. And to me, it's just a really, really fun show that this, quite honestly, very good storytelling. A little bit over the top, I will say. Actually, I will just say a lot over the top. And it was kind of funny because as we were kind of going through the DVD, I looked and I turned to my wife and I said, "Honey, I know it's set in the present day, but this is such an 80s show. It is just so much fun, and it almost feels a lot like a soap opera mixed in with comedy, mixed in with a musical, and just an amazing show for, and I'm starting to realize why so many people love the show. I will say this Tuesday really started off, I almost call it the almost second season. I know it's the second half of the first season, but they did such a great job of tying up so many of the stories that was going on in the first half of the show that it really did feel like it was starting the second season, or at least the second part of the story. And again, just kind of redeveloping where everyone was at this week, I just thought it was so much fun. Great show.
Well, the only thing I'm going to say about it is, you're right, they wrapped it up, because it's a problem, you know, it's a mechanism of television where you only get 13 episodes and you're not sure if you're going to get renewed or not. So when you make your first 13, you kind of assume a little bit that maybe you're going to get canceled. And so you kind of write to that to where you have a complete story. And that's pretty much what they did. And, of course, the problem with that is now this next episode that they just came back from, now you have the problem of reintroducing or basically unsolving the problems that you wrapped up. So everything that got wrapped up, they had to unwrap, which I actually, my problem with this week's episode was that I felt like they did it too fast. Like, they broke up all the relationships that they wrapped up the episode before. So I really felt like they could have spread that out and maybe broken up one couple instead of both couples. And the musical numbers this week were actually not as good as normal. And my problem is, of course, I didn't just watch all the episodes in like 2 days. I've been waiting for months for this new episode, and I've been very, very excited about it. And then when I got it, it wasn't as good as some of the other episodes have been. And part of it was because the musical numbers were not the best. They were okay.
They weren't as strong.
Okay. They were okay, but yeah. And part of the glee is the musical numbers. If the musical numbers aren't strong, the show is weaker. And so this time, the musical numbers were okay. They weren't great. And they broke up all the couples. And some of them in contrived ways. Like actually, both couples were like, I need time to be by myself to learn who I am. And I'm like, well, you didn't know that yesterday? Yeah, so it's kind of, I was like, eh.
But they answered that because at least the guys, is it Mr. Shrew?
Yeah.
He was just trying to move on, and yet he was still not dealing with why, you know, he was still broken, but he didn't want to admit that he was broken.
And actually, his breakup made more sense. Like, I got behind that, because he just got divorced 5 seconds ago and jumped into a new relationship. So, yeah, that totally made sense to me. The one I actually had problems with was the other relationship, mainly because they really hadn't even gotten that relationship started. And then they're going to, like, they were together for 5 minutes, and he's like, yeah, I'm breaking up. Why did you date her in the first place? If you weren't really interested in her, why'd you say, you know, it didn't make any sense to me.
Because he was scared of her. Didn't you get it? He wasn't, in his mind, he was like, I think I'm dating her. I'm not sure if I'm dating her. I think I'm dating her. I'm not sure. Wait, if you're asking me, then I can tell you I'm not dating you. And that guy, the other guy that they brought in to kind of be the third person, it was very funny because, you know, he's on the other team and he's the lead singer. And when I first saw him, I looked over and I looked again at my wife and I said, honey, he's going to get beat up. The whole purpose for this guy is to be a foil, is to kind of cause conflict. But on episode 22... he's going to get beat up.
Well, he's going to get beat up also because I could tell he was evil. I was like, yes, he's evil. And that's basically a term we all use from Buffy. When you refer to anybody and you go, is he evil? That, yes. He's evil. And I really didn't like it being over the top with the reveal of him being evil too. You know, I thought, I was like, give us a moment to wonder if he's evil. And they wouldn't even let us have that. By the end of the episode, they have him do the wide open-eyed looking over the shoulder at the coach and the obvious, yes, he's evil. So,
I think, though, that that's another thing with Glee is as things are being, again, divided and broken up, one of the real strengths of the show and of the group is as they become more solid together, as they become more of a team, that's when their music numbers, that's when a number of things get stronger. And so it just made sense to me that some of the music numbers were not as strong this week. And I wasn't sure if they were doing that purposefully or not purposefully.
Well, next week looks great because it's all Madonna next week. And so I can already tell that it's going to be pretty strong because I saw they're doing Like a Prayer. And there's no way that you can do not Like a Prayer and not make it strong. It's going to be fantastic. So I'm excited about next week. And let's keep going because we're trying to stay on schedule and give us some time to talk about what we really want to talk about at the end. So let's move on to Supernatural.
Supernatural this week was just amazing. It was going towards the obvious big battle, the apocalypse, which is going to be at the end of the season. But I thought they handled it very well with and really without even knowing what was going to, you know, how is this going to play out at the end? Was Dean going to do this? Was he not going to do this? And it really showed a lot of, I would say, strength of character, but at the same time, the same basic problem that the brothers get into every single year.
Which is?
Which is, Dean thinks he's smarter than he is. He makes choices that he shouldn't. And then Sam, when Dean is not there, goes all evil.
So you're saying it's Dean's fault that Sam goes evil?
Well, it is Dean's fault because Dean was like, well, someone has to be there to stop you. And I was just like thinking, okay, then be there. You know, but not as Michael. Be there as his big brother.
My whole thing.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, my whole thing with this is if Dean is Michael, and I'm sure Eddie has no idea what we're talking about, which is good, so
he
won't be
spoiled. Couple seasons behind, so don't worry about it.
But if Dean becomes Michael now versus later, that means he can defeat Lucifer now before.
And Jacob? No, sorry.
What?
Sorry, just threw a Lost reference in there.
Okay, and don't do that because I'm behind on Lost. So,
if Dean becomes
Michael and then he defeats Lucifer now, then that means he doesn't have to kill his brother later. That's the thing that always confused me. I'm like, dude, become Michael now, defeat Lucifer while he's in that other scrub's body. Lucifer's done, killed, sit back. The end. Everyone has a happy ending. Instead, they're all about resisting resisting getting Michael. And now my thing is, if you wait, which is looks like they keep doing, and if you wait, then Sam, yes, ends up becoming Lucifer, and then Dean becomes Michael, and then you have the huge apocalypse, and it's the end of the world. Go ahead.
See, actually, I loved at the end of this episode because basically, they said, we're going to do this, but we're going to do this our way.
Yeah.
Which means no Michael and no Lucifer.
Well, there's still Lucifer.
Well, there is still Lucifer to take care of, but the brothers are going to be the brothers doing that. And to me, I guess, how I'm really seeing this with Dean, because you were saying if Dean becomes Michael now, the problem is if he becomes Michael, Dean is gone.
Well,
and
he's
good. Dean does not get to come back in 3 months.
Well, that depends on how long Michael wants to wear him, I guess. But
yes, but the problem with that is, at this, what I see is that if Dean does this, then we've seen in the past what happens with Sam when he's by himself.
Yeah, Sam cannot resist evil on his own. He succumbs to evil very quickly by himself. That is true. But what I was going to say, what we haven't talked about is I liked bringing back the third brother. I like him. And I was really disappointed when, you know, he got killed, when he got introduced. He got introduced and killed in the same episode. And so I really liked him. And now that he's back, at least hopefully he's back. Well, he's back for one episode. And I really liked him being back for one episode. And I liked his attitude towards his brothers, which is like, dudes, I don't know who the heck you guys are. You're not my family, blah, blah, blah. But then by the end, they're family, you know?
Well, the one thing I will say is I wasn't sure if they were planning on killing off Dean this season because, you know, in a very strange way, I was doing that whole, and I'm trying to think which TV show I'm thinking of where, oh, it's actually Charmed, okay. Where you kill off the oldest sibling, and then the middle sibling becomes the oldest sibling, and the baby sibling becomes the middle child. And they were already starting to do that with Sam as he was dealing with Adam. He was dealing with him like he was the older of the siblings.
Which he is, between the two of them.
I was just like thinking, wow, are they going to kill Dean off? Because I really like these dynamics better.
Well, I don't know if I could keep watching the show if it becomes about Sam and Adam. And Sam being the older brother and Adam being the younger brother. And because Sam, he doesn't have what it takes to carry a show. I'm sorry. He just doesn't. And I do like Adam, but I like him in the dynamic of the third brother, not in a dynamic of two brothers. And I think they have introduced him, I guess, because they're still negotiating with the actors about next season. So they're kind of like, yeah, we got a spare brother, so yeah, you can leave if you want.
but you know, he really could not replace Sam either because Dean and Adam, they're too similar. They can't really play off of one another.
That's true. Their personalities are almost identical, which is why they don't get along as well because they're right. The same. And but I do like the fact that they are the same. I like that a lot. I like the fact that he's just the younger, more inexperienced version of Dean. And that's really kind of interesting. And you're right. It would make an interesting dynamic, and I like them together, but not for a show. I can't see that.
Well, no, because they would get there, they would try to figure out where the ghost is, and they would try to figure out who has the books. Don't you have the books? I don't read either. Man, I guess we need another brother.
if the two of them, yeah, that's true. Sam is the book knowledge kid.
Yes.
All right, well, last thing I want to say about Supernatural before we move on is that the moment between Bobby and the guys at the beginning when Dean was all like, you're not my father and you can't tell me such and such, and he loses it and he talks about the bullet that, you know, he talks about, I have this gun and I take this bullet. This is the bullet I'm going to use to kill myself, and every morning I look at it and I think about why I don't put a bullet in my head, and it's because of you guys. And that moment was fantastic. I was just tearing up. I was like, oh my God, Bobby, no. So
it was one of the most powerful scenes I've seen on that show in a long, long time. It was amazing.
Yeah, Bobby made me cry. I mean, that was like literally in the middle of the episode out of nowhere. And I'm like, oh my God. But yeah, it was really good.
But Bobby's been going through quite a bit. I mean, he's gotten back his wife for a little bit. You know, she had died, obviously, earlier. That's what made him become a hunter. She came back. He thought that life was going to be good. She went all zombie on him.
Well, I mean, he knew. When she came back from the dead, he knew life wasn't going to be good. He knew he didn't really think life was going to be good.
Oh, he really thought for a little bit.
But,
I mean, he was
enjoying the moment, but he did know that that was not going to end well. He did know that.
Still, he's been going through quite a bit this last season.
Oh, yeah, he has. I mean, he's at the end of his rope. He's totally at the end of his rope. But I want to hurry up and move on and stay on track. Real quick, let's go over Fringe. Eddie?
Well, I haven't watched this week's episode yet. I was out of town for a couple days, but I've seen everything else, and again, it's starting to be payoff time on Fringe. You know, a lot of the alternate universe stuff is coming out. The character development's great. I mean, you know, the Peter episode from a couple weeks ago, you know, I mean, we all knew that Peter was taken from the alternate universe. We were all waiting for the payoff, and what was surprising about that was the fact that, you know, everybody had an assumption of how Walter was actually going to do and kidnap, and it really wasn't his intention to kidnap Peter at the time. So, you know, once we found that out, then last week's was the, you know, will Olivia keep the secret or not? And how's she going to, you know, she wants to tell Peter, and then at the end decides it's best not to. So yeah, you still have the, you know, whatever the bizarre, you know, X-File monster of the week, maybe, or whatever case comes up. But I definitely, as it plays out the rest of the season, the alternate universe thing is going to be cool. Plus, Keith, I know you haven't watched Glee, but there's going to be a musical Fringe episode coming up. So.
Well, for Fringe, the arc episodes are fantastic. Like, every single one of the arc episodes just blow my mind. The problem, of course, is always the standalone episodes where you just roll your eyes because for some reason they can't do standalone episodes. I don't understand what the problem is, but they have yet to make a really good standalone episode, which is like somebody said the inverse problem the X-Files had, but...
That's very true.
This week's episode is technically a standalone, but it's mainly the through point, character-wise, is that, you know, Walter is trying to get up the courage to tell Peter, because he, at the end of the last one, he was all like, I'm going to tell Peter. And this week's episode was kind of about that, without giving too much away, but the actual, you know, plot of the week was, I literally rolled my eyes when I realized it was a time loop episode. I was like, oh my God! Because time loop episodes are tricky. You have to really know what you're doing from a writing standpoint to pull off a time loop without making the audience bored. And Fringe doesn't know how to do it.
Well, their title's not Star Trek, so...
No,
it's... Unless you're Star Trek or Doctor Who, you shouldn't try to do a time loop episode.
Oh, my God. It was like... As soon as I realized it was a time loop, I was like, oh, no, 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 no. And the first loop, you don't realize it's a loop, so it's fine. The second loop was about as bad as I thought it was going to be. But then when you got to the third loop, I have to say, the third loop, they kind of just cut to the end. They, like, you know, jumped to where you already were, so you didn't really have to go through the loop again. And the end, emotionally, was really good. Like, there's this moment at the very end where I totally teared up, and I was like, that's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen on that show. And when you get to it, you'll know what I'm talking about. It was really, really nice moment. But preview for next week looks like a huge, huge arc. Huge arc episode. I mean, serious, like, soldiers from the alternate universe coming through fighting arc episode. So I am quite excited about next week. I mean, it's like all-out war time. So obviously the finale of Fringe is coming, and they're building up to it, and yay! All right, so Stargate Universe.
I'm really enjoying that they're getting off that ship, even if it's just for a few hours or a month or so. I thought this episode was really good. Again, it was a lot of character development. It was kind of the, it was the next day after let's try to take over the ship, and now we have to all be friends again, and how do we do that? It was really that episode.
Go ahead. Oh, well, in the sense that it, you know, took place over the course of a month. So as far as a story device, you know, they're able to say they're able to do all this bonding in just this one episode. So maybe they don't carry on, you know, that they resolve their differences all by the end of it, to some extent.
To some extent.
As far as for taking over the ship. I mean, there's other things that came up, but yeah.
It is amazing how the ship or the ancients or whatever, you know, and whatever you would call them, it kind of puts them in the place where they need to be to deal with whatever is going on. And, I mean, some people might say that sounds contrite, but, you know, that's one of the things with this show that I'm actually really enjoying is that they are obviously being guided by something in what, you know, what they are doing and where they are going. And even to the detail of, okay, now you guys need to have a breather to work through some of these issues. And, you know, that's what this one was.
I was just going to say that if they give me another musical montage, I might have to shoot someone. I think that is actually the weakness of the show. Is I like the character moments. I like where they're going. I like the story and everything. But someone told them that musical montages allows them to do something emotional and moving, and they've taken it in hand, and every week we get 1 to 2 musical montages, and I'm tired of them. I'm like, tell the story without music, please.
Well, one thing we touched on before we started this podcast, and I actually like Universe 2 a lot, but, you know, it's definitely different in tone than the other Stargates. And then sometimes, you know, I'm still kind of a traditionalist on that. You know, you want to see your aliens. You want to see your action every week. But, you know, I know this is very, sort of Battlestar Galactic-ish to some extent. I mean, they seem to be progressing a little bit differently than they did the first half of the season. But I still have trouble remembering the characters' names on this show, past 2 or 3 of them. It's just I've never had that case with a TV show. It's like, well, that character, the girl, there's maybe 3 of them, you know, Young and Rush and Eli. That's pretty much it as far as character names I remember. I mean, it's really hard when you describe this, you know, you talk to people who actually watch the show, they're like, oh, the doctor and stuff. It's like, you know, I'm not personally invested in very few characters in that show yet. And I haven't had that experience on a TV show, you know, after a season's almost over halfway done. It's kind of odd that I don't have that attachment to the majority of the characters yet. Yet I still like the show.
Well, I'm really attached to Young and Rush, and they are by far the strongest characters, and I really like them. And I think part of it is they're the only 2 characters that have really been developed. Well, Eli's been developed a little bit, but those are the main 2 characters that the writers have been concentrating on, and because of that, I am invested in those 2 characters, and I really do like them. But you're right, other than those 3 people, I have no idea who any of the TJ, because they said her name 20 times this week, and elephant in the room, her pregnancy thing is obviously going to become an issue that will be interesting for them to resolve. And I was like, well, obviously the other thing is that also presents the problem. It's not like they have contraceptives anymore. Nobody has birth control pills. So all the people who've been, you know, having sex on the show, you're going to have more pregnancies, you know? And what do you do?
You have babies.
Pretty straightforward.
That's brilliant. Thank you. Yeah, obviously they're going to be having a bunch of little ones running around because, yeah, without birth control, without contraceptives, without anything that you can't do anything about it other than, I guess, you know, abstaining, which is doesn't seem really realistic in that situation, especially with people, when you have, you know, that high tension situation where everybody's trying to bond and attach to somebody. So it does make sense, and I'm actually kind of glad that they went there. I'm just not sure when the heck he slept with her. I was like, when did that happen?
Well, actually, it was before they got on the ship, if you remember. Is they said that this happened at the base.
Oh, right, she said at Icarus.
Yeah, they did say that, right. And apparently they gave kind of a timeline. We're about 15 weeks or so, at least when it started. They said like 15 weeks. So all of what we've watched so far has taken place over 3 or 4 months.
Oh, okay.
See, that's going to make things even more interesting because the fact is that she got pregnant before they got on the ship from him.
Right. Well, because his whole thing is he broke it off with her. That's why I was confused because I was like, they broke up. When did they sleep together?
She was going to go back to Earth. You know,
right. But now, of course, everyone's going to find out, so, you know.
Even back home.
That's true, because they got the communication devices.
Those darn communication devices.
It'll be a fun conversation with his wife. All right, let's...
That's okay. Lou Diamond Phillips, I have it with her.
Oh, good Lord. I hate that aspect of the show. I really don't like Lou Diamond Phillips' character. But let me move on real quick. Let's try to keep on crunching. The next show I want to talk about real quick is the Spartacus, and some weeks my guests on the show have watched the show, and some weeks they have not, and this week is the have not. And
you're the have nots.
Yeah, you're the have nots. And you should. It's on Netflix Instant. All the episodes are available. You should totally watch it. The finale was Friday, and it was fantastic. It was a bloodbath. And I don't mean like they went into the arena and fought somebody. I mean, they killed off a bunch of main characters. And I was just sitting there with my mouth hanging open, going like, wow. Like, it was crazy. The finale was absolutely crazy and absolutely brilliant, and I loved it. Most of the people I wanted to die died, maybe. People I didn't want to die died. And there was a point where I thought one of my favorite characters was going to die, and I was literally just rocking and shaking like, you know, a kid, and just like, oh my God, don't kill him, don't kill him, don't kill him. So it had everything. It had tension. It had nice bit of revenge. Lots of blood-covered people. Actually, it was literally a slaughter. There was a complete slaughterhouse. There was dead bodies everywhere. And it had all been building all season, and they totally surprise you. Like, you're not going to guess who's going to make it out of season one. You're not going to guess. So I love that about the show. Well, okay, Spartacus survives. How about that? But I love that about the show because they build everybody up, and as the show progresses, they just randomly start killing people to where you can't depend on who's a main character and who's not. And then when you get to the finale, they're like, oh, well, you thought these people were main characters. Nope. It was really good. It was really good, and it was quite shocking. And if anybody thinks that their writing is juvenile and just like written for teenagers for blood and nudity, you got to see this episode and realize that no, that's not what this is about. This is much bigger. It's a really well-told story. All right, in Spartacus plug, and also, you know, because I said what's going on with the news, I can't wait for whatever they have coming next, because Steve DeKnight has really impressed me with this. So I'm looking forward to whatever the heck he's doing. Little skeptical, younger actor, but I want to see what they have. All right, and now what everyone has been waiting for, we are going to discuss the premiere of Doctor Who Series 5.
Yay! Who? What? Who? Where?
No. All right. Yay. Go forth, guys. 11th hour. What did you think?
Awesome. I've been watching Doctor Who since the 80s. Pretty much I've seen, you know, very classic traditionalist on a lot of it, but I've been watching it since on Sunday nights on PBS stations here in St. Louis. I've enjoyed every single Doctor I've ever seen. I know some people have doctors they like and some they just absolutely hate, but I always like the difference in every doctor that comes up. And I was skeptical, just like I am with every doctor. You know, it's like, okay, you know, Tennant was great, but, you know, Matt Smith is, I think he's going to work out good. I mean, I was worried about his age and things like that, but yeah, I think he's got the mannerisms. He's a little bit more dynamic. He's just going to go throw himself out there more than some of the more recent doctors has, you know, caution to the wind. I like the companion a lot. So, I mean, as far as an introduction episode for the doctor, I think they've done a very good job.
I would completely agree with that, is that as far as an introduction episode goes, I mean, it was very, I would say, traditionalist with... As with Tennant's coming onto Doctor Who on that first episode where, you know, it takes about a half of an episode to really kind of get things moving and to kind of develop who he is. But there is a very clear part of the show, of this episode, when he is the Doctor.
Oh, yes.
And I just thought that was very interesting. I also liked how the introduction of the companion, how Amy Pond, they did over time. And I thought that was actually very interesting, considering that we are talking Doctor Who and how the Doctor does travel back and forth in time, but they actually used the introduction of Amy. They introduced her as someone younger, and then we see her development with the relationship of the Doctor throughout different stages of her life. I thought that was absolutely
It was interesting because, you know, when she's a girl, initially it's like, okay, I'm going to rely on this person, and then, you know, he disappears, another person that failed her, and, you know, when he comes back, it's like, you know, she wants to believe, but she's the first one like, well, you let me down, you disappeared, you know, you thought I was crazy, you know, people thought I was crazy, I didn't believe in you. So she has that skepticism initially that, you know, she has to overcome. And yeah, you're right, the moment he becomes the Doctor, I mean, watching all the Doctors, part of it is, you know, they're getting used to their own personality initially, so things are a little manic. But yes, when they, you know, do their whole costume change, and, you know, anytime they do a montage of all the existing Doctors, when he steps through there, puts on the bow tie, that was awesome and classic.
I agree with everything you guys have said so far. The thing that I think is really interesting is, you know, the Doctor, especially with Tennant's reign, has always had this issue or angst about his companions and how after they travel with him for a certain amount of time, he's ruined their lives. I find it very interesting that in this particular case, he has pre-ruined a companion's life before she has actually ever stepped on board the TARDIS. And, I mean, she went through, what, four counselors and trying to tell her that she's, you know, insane and tell her that her imaginary friend wasn't real. And everyone thinks she's crazy. And he's basically ruined her life before she's spent any real time with him. And that's built up an interesting kind of resentment. She kind of resents him a little bit, yet she's drawn to him because of this childhood memory. So she wants to be with him, yet she's kind of mad at him already. And I think that's a different dynamic. As far as where she fits in on companions, I mean, we only see the one episode, and it's kind of hard to judge a companion, but there's something a little lacking in her acting ability for me. I think the Doctor's fantastic. Like, Matt Smith, way better than I would have ever guessed. Especially because I was concerned about the age and the look and all that, and he knocked it out of the park. I mean, it's going gone. Like, I thought he did a great, great job as the Doctor. I think Karen Gillian?
Yeah.
I'm not sure about her. She was a little weak. I love the little girl, ironically. Like, that little girl just totally worked for me. And then once she became the adult, she didn't work as well. I didn't feel as much for her. And I liked her issues on paper, and I kind of liked her issues, you know, seeing and everything. But there's just something about her that I didn't connect with her like I've connected with all the other companions so far. Like, all the other companions, I mean, Rose I liked, even though there's some parts of her I didn't like, but I still really like Rose. And I like Martha, I liked Donna. I've liked all the companions. And this companion, I'm not sure yet, but it is early days, as they say. And so I'm very hopeful that I will like this companion as much as I like the other ones. But I definitely like the Doctor. Thumbs up.
I will definitely say, for watching Doctor Who, it's almost equally about the companion as it is about the Doctor. And when Donna's early days, I very much, it took a few episodes for me to want to watch Donna, especially with Martha going away, and I thought, well, Donna's just not nearly as cool as Martha.
Well, and Donna had sort of the issue where she had the, you know, you had the one-off Christmas special initially before they may even had her planned as a companion. So, you know, colored by, oh, my goodness, you know, she's going to be that type of person on the TARDIS. And she did grow. So, I mean, yeah, I have a lot of hopes for this companion.
Yeah, I was going to say, I definitely with Amy, I am hoping that she can kind of grow into being this companion that we are used to. To me, she seems very similar, actually, to Rose in the naivete and just kind of this is where she's coming from. One of the things, though, I will say that she had going for her, a lot of times Doctor Who has kind of a joke throughout the whole episode, and this one was, you know, oh, he is, wait, he's real? And he is, and, you know, and all the different people that the Doctor met through her, they had
That's
that
true.
Time where, you know, oh my goodness, he is real. Look, he is in front of you. And I'm hoping that they're going to be able to kind of develop some of these other characters like they did with Rose, actually. Like they did with her family and extended, you know, her boyfriend Mickey and all that kind of stuff. Hopefully what we saw in this last, on this first episode is the extension of the Doctor Who group in the fifth season.
Yeah, I like the, her boyfriend's interesting, but kind of, they kind of made him another Mickey Smith, which means he's basically a pushover, at least especially early Mickey Smith. He's a pushover, he's not that interesting, he's, you know, kind of boring. I did like the other guy that, you know, he used the guy's computer. I liked his dynamics with that guy. I don't know who he is in relation to her. I think he's, like, supposed to be her cousin or something. So I like that guy. But I don't really...
What comment on the boyfriend? It's kind of interesting. You know, boyfriend's a doctor, hasn't abandoned her, it really likes her, but
he's not a doctor. He's
or
not
he's
a,
an intern. He's,
no, he's a nurse. He's a nurse.
He's a nurse. He never was the... Yeah, but he's kind of... It's almost a parallel with the doctor in some ways, you know? It's like, okay, this person, you know... Yeah, you're right. He is a nurse. But, I mean, there's kind of an interesting, you know, she's drawn to the doctor, but then this is the person who's her boyfriend. So it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of some give and take as far as between what the doctor would offer and what this guy offers, who ends up being the nurse and really likes her, but she doesn't really care for him. But you know, she's definitely drawn to the doctor. So,
and
you know,
not kinda, just a boyfriend. Remember that. Remember
that's true. She wasn't really quite. I have a feeling, you know, with the, you know, realize it was the day before her wedding and stuff like that. She's just kind of probably okay. This is as good as it's going to get. You know, she was just kind of like, well, I'll go through with this. But now she's got her chance to another runaway bride, I guess.
She can be with the guy that she's dreamed about since she was seven. So. Yeah, and I don't know if she dreamed about him in a romantic way, necessarily, when she was a kid. Because, he was like her imaginary friend, and I'm not sure if they're going to go in a romantic way between the two of them. It actually seems weird, which is...
Yeah, I don't think they will. I don't know. I just get that sense that they might not. It's going to be like this, like you said, the imaginary friend, and she's looking for her, you know, fantastic, you know, imaginary hero, you know, almost big brother in a lot of ways that she ever had. So I think that might be the dynamic that they explore this time. Sure, you know, she had her little look at him and stuff. You know, she's like, well, I'm just going to do my own thing. But I don't think we're going to get the whole Rose and Doctor, you know, the angst. You know, it's definitely not going to be returned. You know,
Yeah, well, which is hopeful because I actually didn't like the Doctor and Rose. But as a couple, I like them together, but not as a couple. And
right.
I don't really want to see that again. And not that I'm necessarily opposed to the Doctor having a romance, because I'm very excited about the Doctor and River Song. Like, I saw the preview, and it looks like we're going to see her again, and I'm quite excited about that. Like, that, because she's experienced. My problem is, you know, the Doctor picking up these 19-year-old girls who don't have any experience in anything, and it feels a little weird
creepish.
To me. Yeah, it's a little creepy. And so I like the fact that the Doctor's relationship with River works a lot better for me because she's from the 51st century. She knows what the heck she's doing. She's got experience. She's a time traveler. She can do all this, you know. So any relationship with her feels more like equal standing.
Right.
So, yeah, I like that a lot more.
Yeah, and I'm definitely looking forward to the River Song thing, especially, you know, she maybe have been married to the Doctor at one time, how that all falls on the timeline. I guess you had the throwaway line in the, you know, the finale with Tennant, you know, when he said, you know, he'd been traveling around and got married once, didn't last. Some, you know, that little throwaway line they did in Tennant's final episode, you kind of wonder if he was referring to River Song during that time, you know, before he was finally went to Meg D'Oud and, you know, went on to his, you know, confrontation with the Master at the end. So I don't know. Yeah, I think definitely there'll be some. It'll be interesting to see how they introduce her and then where, you know, that whole timeline with River falls in.
Yeah, I'm excited to find out where she is in her timeline. So yeah, I'm very much looking forward to that.
So I think we can definitely say that fifth season. 11th Doctor is definitely a hit.
Yeah, I'm very excited. It's working out for me. I was very cautious, but I have to say, two thumbs up. If you guys weren't sure if you wanted to watch it, this is definitely a show you could take a chance on and watch. And I just want to wrap this up and remind everybody, if you have any comments or thoughts that you want us to address in the next podcast, you can leave your comments at tvcampfire@gmail.com. You guys have any closing comments you want to make?
It's great to be here. Hope you invite us back soon.
Yes, definitely. It was a lot of fun. It kind of reminds me of all our times in Columbia years ago. Buffy nights. That was a fun time.
All right. And if any other Keepers of Lore out there who want to join in, let me know.
Thanks, Olivia.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.